way.
Blog Talk yes. Radio.
Of course, you fall.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox Ministries. We welcome you from around the world to this broadcast relative and pertinent to the Word of God. We encourage you to call a friend and have them to call in at 646-716-8530 so they can listen on their phones, or go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DrMaddox. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to encourage you to go to the bookstore, the ministry bookstore, www.DREMADDOX.org. We have a blessing there for you, all kinds of training materials, videos, MP3s that you can benefit from relative to the Word of God. There are three books that we have now: Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, for a period of time, if you purchase Apostolic Manifesto and Weapons of Our Warfare, the book Impact of a Deliverance Prayer will be given free of charge. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now. You can reach us at Dr. E. Maddox Ministry via phone at 248-796-8523, the Point of Light Christian Center, 248-423-9289. We just want to take a moment to ask God to bless us as we move into the Word of God. I know that you will be blessed. So our great Father in heaven, we thank you now for the word that you are about to deliver over these airwaves. All of you be blessed, be delivered, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we will bring that Word of God to you. Amen.
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor.
And that just blessed my heart. Well, I'm Dr. Ernest Maddox. Some people call me Apostle Maddox. Some call me a lot worse than that. Amen. But I'm fine with that.
Amen.
I've been in ministry since 1969. My background is, shall I say, you can describe it as perilous times. Amen. And the Lord rescued me and brought me into an inner healing and deliverance ministry through my own personal need. I belong to a church that was basically the Jewish traditional church, and that's another story. If God would call a warlord from a gang and put him in a predominantly Jewish church. Amen? I went from hardcore to hunker.
Yes.
And trust me, that's a challenge. You know, my lovely wife, who I've been married to approaching 38 years, amen, I've been blessed with two sons, a daughter, and adopted daughters, and seven grandchildren that I hope to have all here next time we do this in July. My background is one that I've always been steeped in war, on the streets and in the church. And I felt like that was a disadvantage until I began to realize that church is war.
Amen.
And Christianity is a legitimate warfare. God has taught me over the years that a lot of us suffer, amen, because we have been taught by theologians who were taught by theologians who thought they were theologians. You understand what I'm saying? So we're taught by several who thought, who never took the time to research the Word of God. I always have had a fear of being tricked, duped, whipsawed, hoodwinked. And trick-or-treating. Satan has pulled a massive trick-or-treat on the church.
Right.
Not on the people of God. There's a difference. Let me say that again. There's a difference between the church and the people of God.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm going to show you in the Word. And if you like titles, the title of this message is Origins and Counterfeits. Origins and Counterfeits. Satan started his counterfeit thousands of years ago. But relative to man, we can pinpoint when the counterfeit started. Amen? Close to 6,000 years ago. I want you to turn to a text in Jude. And again, I want to acknowledge all of those in this house who are leaders, those who have come before us. And I'm delighted by the young people who will come after us. Amen. And it's up to us to lay a foundation of godliness solidified in the Word of God, so they're not tossed around by every wind of doctrine, every tsunami that hits the church. That's the new ideology, and I said ideology, wrapped in religious theology. Christians ought to be theocrats, not theologians. And if you look up the word theocrat, it's government from God down.
Right.
Theology is a study of religion. Christianity, legitimate, and I use that term very purposely, legitimate Christianity has nothing to do with theology. Theology is the study of religion in order to adapt it to fit to your lifestyle so you can feel good about your condition of debauchery.
Amen.
And justify it before God. I'm being as polite as I know how. The study of theocracy is government from God down. In other words, you're trying to understand what it is that God wants,
amen,
and then you put forth an effort, no matter how uncomfortable it is, to accomplish it.
Amen.
So I'm a theocrat, not a theologian.
Amen.
And I operate in the context of theocracy. I'm not a Democrat nor a Republican.
Amen.
I'm a theocrat.
Amen.
And one gentleman told me, well, you don't have a platform. We have a platform. Republicans, we got a big old book, volumes. I said, I have one book with chapters. The first platform ever written for man. So after they realize that I can get as pedantic as they can, they leave me alone. Amen. And the reason, let me tell you something. I'm a young man with a sixth grade education. God came into my life and told me he was going to train me for 3 decades. I was so ignorant, I didn't know what the word decade meant. I'm thinking, boy, that's a short time, and I'm going to be ready. That's shorter than a year. He said, decade. I looked it up, and I realized that ignorance can be painful. It's a bad thing that when you think you're going to get one thing and you get something else. I had my tonsils taken out once, and I thought it was vanilla ice cream. It turned out to be cottage cheese. Can you imagine the trauma That's just how I felt. And I was 21 years. I said, God, I'll be 50. Wait a minute. He says, it's going to take me 50 years to straighten you out. And it's going to take me 50 to keep you from becoming contaminated. Well, at that time, I didn't have an understanding. But I'm 66 years old now. And I do understand. Amen?
Amen.
So what I'm attempting to do this evening, what I believe that the Holy Spirit is giving me permission to do, and I had four powerful people in the Lord pray for me before I come up here. I believe in reinforcement and stacking the deck. I believe that if you can kill a mouse with a 22, I prefer to have a 45 hollow point. I believe that in the spirit. Understand what I'm saying. I don't take any chances. So I am thoroughly confident that what God has given me is what He wants you to hear.
Amen.
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 Origins and counterfeit. In Jude, some say Jude, the first chapter. You can say Jude, the only chapter.
Yeah.
Amen. A lot of times when I'm preaching and I want to test an astute crowd, I won't do this to you because I've already let the cat out of the bag. But I'll say, turn to Jude, the 8th chapter. You'd be surprised how many people get it. Now, I know that's not nice. But I love to do it in seminaries. When I'm dealing with a bunch of scholars and didactic spiritual intellectuals in the seat of professors. But I won't do that to you, amen? Because you are warriors and you might get even. Praise the Lord. I am no fool. Jude, the only chapter, and I want to begin in verse 12. It says, these are spots in your love feast. I'm reading from the New King James. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by wind, like autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Those are some serious words.
Yeah.
I'm glad Jude only wrote one chapter. I don't know, I can handle two or three chapters of that. When I first read that years ago, I stopped reading Jude for about 4 years. Because he don't know me. Yeah, no business talking about me like that.
Yes, sir.
I'm pretty personal. But I want you to remember this text, because God does not say anything unless He has a profound purpose behind it. God is not a waster of words, and there's a major clue in that 14th verse. And as we go through this process, you are going to see what Satan has attempted to do that Jude understood and is trying to warn the people of God. We talked about theocracy. Now I want to talk a little bit about Adam. We know that God created Adam, and we can go to Genesis 2:9 and get an understanding about what the Lord was doing relative to Adam. It's critical that we get this, because you will see a terrible, terrible deception manifests itself and has perpetrated the Church of God and created a problem of confusion in the body of Christ. Genesis, I keep going to Genesis 3, and I know what the enemy is trying to do, but it's not working. I'm still going to Genesis 2. And it says here, out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now that's basic, isn't it? We all understand that. That's very clear where God put that tree. Now, if we go same chapter, verses 15 through 17, and I'm going to take the time because this foundation is important. And it says, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it, you surely die. You will surely die. Now I'm going to submit to you that Adam did do what he was told not to do, along with Eve. And there's a theory and an argument out there that says, well, God doesn't have control because Adam didn't drop dead that day. And he actually lived hundreds of years.
Right.
So that's proof that God didn't know what he was talking about. Wrong answer. A day is to God is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is a day. No man has lived 1,000-year day. And that's what God was talking about. He says, in that day, before that 1,000 years, you will die. When you have an eternity handed to you and you didn't make it 1,000 years, that's lunacy. Do you know when the first day will actually be lived? In the millennium. When man has done what he's needed to do. So God is not confused. But we get confused because we begin to get into a theology about what God meant, and then we want to take God and break him down based on our intellectual theories and ideologies. And what we begin to do is corrupt the power of God in our lives. If you go to Genesis, the third chapter, and I'm not going to take time to read every text there, but we know the serpent approached Eve, don't we? And we know that the serpent just simply interjected one word into God's directive. God says, thou shalt surely die. And Satan says, thou shalt not, surely not. A three-letter word. And Eve submitted. So did Adam. When you read the text, Adam was with her. There's a whole theocracy on that. Notice I didn't say theology. Theocracy. When a man does not stand up and protect what God has given him, he doesn't have to be the one to fall directly for the okey-doke. Satan don't have a problem with a proxy okey-doke. He don't care if you're stupid first or second, just as long as you're stupid. Amen? He don't care if you made the mistake initially or didn't. If you went along with it, I hope some of you are listening to me. If you went along with it and you're in charge of that function, you are accountable. That's why God didn't curse Eve. He restored the violation. She was supposed to have been subject to her husband. She wasn't, and God put her back into subjection. The only thing she incurred was pain of childbirth. But she was already supposed to be submissive. People walk around thinking, well, that was a curse for to be made. No, it wasn't. See, that's something you need to learn about human nature. We get corrected, we think we're being punished unduly. No, we're just setting things back the way they should be and ought to be and should have been in the beginning.
Yeah.
You expect your children to do that, don't you?
Yeah.
They do something, you spank them to line them back up. Pain brings an alignment.
Come on. Hello.
I know it aligned me. You know, you adults, when you run that stop sign 3 or 4 times and pay a $400 or $500 fine, somehow you get realigned. It's a stimulus. No adult goes to court and argue about a ticket. Well, one did, it was me. I won't do it again. Every time I said, Your Honor, but, he said, another $50. I said, but that's not fair. He said, $50. I said, you're an unjust judge, $50. I said, you know you're wrong, $100. I said, right, judge, right. Because he had reached the limit of my pocket. If I'd have kept talking, I was going to jail. Here's my point. If we don't listen to God and we keep running off at the mouth about what we think in our theology, you're going to end up in demonic incarceration.
Come on now.
Because you don't have enough in your pocket.
Come on.
To pay the cost.
Amen.
And if you don't get Jesus as your advocate, you got a problem. And he only advocates for those who are in alignment. He doesn't answer everybody's prayer. I'm sorry. The word says the prayers of a righteous man avail much. But then the prayers of an unrighteous man must avail little. Why are you all looking at me like, no, I don't think so. I think God loves everybody. What does love have to do with it? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But he's not going to give him 3 or 4 times for stupidity. Well, let's move into chapter 3.
Okay.
And I'm going to take some liberty and paraphrase. You're looking at your text. And if I say something wrong, it's not correct, then you jump up like Jack in the Box, and you go, boom, I do believe that you're wrong, sir. Amen? That's perfectly fine. But in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, after they partake of the activity, and you're going to see why I say activity, then God wanted to know where they were. Yeah. And they said, we're hiding because we're naked. And we're ashamed. Now I'm going to point you to Genesis, the second chapter, the 24th, I believe, and the 25th verse. Does it say something about them being naked and not ashamed?
Correct.
Does it say that?
Yes.
So how do you go from not being ashamed and naked to hiding, naked, and ashamed? What happened? What did that have to do with an apple? I'm not going to eat an apple and then go hide because I'm naked and ashamed. I eat apples in public, fully cold. Macintoshes, delicious reds. Grannies. Right there in plain view. And when I finished the apple, the only thing I was ashamed of is that I didn't eat another one. So what happened? Well, if you notice in Genesis, the third chapter, God went to Adam, because Adam said, well, we were naked and ashamed, and we were hiding. And what did God ask him? Who told you that? A few days ago, he was running around here, mooning everything in the garden. And you did not have a problem. Now you hide in the poison ivy, kissing, scratching. I'm ashamed. Boy, something wrong with us. God said, who told you that? Point number one. When God asks you a question, don't blame him for your consequences.
Good.
God said, who told you that? And what did Adam say? The woman you gave me. You see, I was all right. God was looking at him, no, you wasn't all right. You was looking at cheating. I had to do something. I saw you. Brother over there looked at me and cheated. You don't do that to me. God gave him a person that was equal to his ability to help him. Amen?
Amen.
Right away, because Adam knew he had messed up, he said, well, God, it's your fault. You gave me this woman.
Yeah.
You notice God didn't ask him anything? Did you notice that?
No comment.
See, God won't waste time. You won't blame me. Okay, fine. I'll get. Hold on. I'll be back. So he asked Eve, what did Eve say? The serpent beguiled me. And I mean, you know what the word beguiled means? Holy, sexually seduced. Look it up. In the Hebrew, English, Greek, Chaldean, Aramaic, Chinese, Japanese, Pig Latin. But we read the Bible and we go, that ain't what they meant. The King James translators had a problem with that because they didn't want to deal with what it implied. But it implies what it implies. It goes on to say in the third chapter, you have your Bible. If it was an issue of eating fruit, why did God tell Satan? And see, some of you didn't even know this.
Come on.
God said to Satan, I will bring enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. Did you know Satan had seed? Some of y'all saying, no, you didn't. Some of you might have thought it. Is God confused? What do you think happened in Genesis 6? What do you think is happening now with the war divisions coming up and manifesting themselves as women and husbands, and the women are saying they're having sex with demons? So you can't pick out one segment and say, well, that can be true, and then all of this other stuff is. The problem is that we don't understand transhumanism, and we don't understand what man is doing right now as he's altering the DNA with what they call aliens, which are not aliens at all, but skeletons of Nephilim out of the Genesis 6 context. So I'm going to preach and not have a debate. If you got a question, but I'm not going to debate with you, because I've done my research, and I'm not operating on emotions, feelings, or locked-in religious theology, talk, thought. I'm operating on the Word of God, and it's very plain, and it's very clear, and it's very exact. The problem with a lot of us, and I'm going to lay it out just like it is, we're so demonized that the demons in us, and yes, I'm going to say it, we have a problem with being revealed at this level. And I'm not saying that anybody is operating that way. I'm just saying that I've been in environments where when they know they're going to be exposed, they manifest. What you need to understand about me, I'm a legitimate warrior. Debate doesn't bag me down. I try to use finesse. I try to be polite. But if you make it a decision between the Word of God and me getting along, then we just won't be getting along. Amen? So I hope I made myself clear. So God said, not Ernest Maddox, amen?
Amen.
There will be enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. Now, the debate is with God. God is the one confused, because he thinks Satan has seed, right? So there's an issue there. But that is not my point to make. Here's the point that I want to make. When you look in Genesis 4 and 5, I want you to take a moment. Look at the names that you discover in Genesis 4. Just do a brief scan and look at the names you find in Genesis 5. You're going to find two or three exact names. And you're going to find other names that are very similar. Most scholars believe that Genesis 4 in Genesis 5 are the same chapter, and Genesis 5 is a repeat of Genesis 4. That is not true. And I'm going to prove it to you from your Bible. When Cain did what he did in Genesis the 4th chapter and killed his brother, before that God came to him and said, Cain, if you do well, I will accept you. Isn't that in your text?
Yeah.
But if you don't do well, sin is at your door. And it will have rule over you if you don't conquer it. What did Cain do? He killed Abel. Why? Well, according to the Word of God, because Abel's offering was righteous. And he is what? You need to understand, and I want to take a moment now and gold, because I want to read Genesis 5. Because this presents another challenge. I have scanned the Bible. I don't care how bad a son was, he was always listed in his mouth. Has anybody found anything different? I don't care what that son did. When you read the genealogy of that family, they're listed. At the end of chapter 4, Adam had another son. What was his name? And who did he replace?
Abel.
Abel, who Cain slew. Now in chapter 4, Cain had a son, a firstborn. His name was what? Enoch. Did you know there were two Enochs? Cain's son and the seventh from Adam. That's why Jude said that. In Genesis 4, there's a parallel theological church. Satan is the first theologian. He was the first one to analyze the Word of God and tell God's creation, you don't really need to do it God's way because you're intelligent enough. Because he said he saw it was a tree to make one wise. You are wise enough to determine whether or not you're ready to handle good and evil information. That's theology. You decide what you want to receive. And there will always be a conflict between Kenite theological thinking and Enoch theocratic thinking. There will always be a debate and a murderous intent. Always. It will never cease. And as you will see in Genesis 4, Cain's son Enoch had sons. One built buildings, one formed musical instruments, and one formed weapons. There are three watchers who fell with women. They're named in the book of Enoch. And if you tell me, well, the book of Enoch is not valid, then why is Jude quoting it? And why is it canonized, the book of Jude included, even though he's quoting nothing but Enoch? Everything he's saying came out of the book of Enoch. Did you know that? The seventh from Adam, not the second from Cain. You begin to see what I'm saying here? There's a counterfeit. Amen? There's an origin of counterfeit. And you know how you tell counterfeit? The FBI trains counterfeit experts, not by examining counterfeit money, by examining real money. So when they come in contact with the counterfeit, they'll know. So I don't study Satan's religions to recognize them. I study the Word of God.
Amen.
And so the counterfeit stands out.
Yeah.
Because I know what the legitimate currency is.
Amen.
That's why I don't have to debate. And any servant of God doesn't need to debate. The truth is the truth.
Amen.
Christ got killed for telling. And the group of folks killed him were religious folk.
That's right.
Who believed in traditions of men. Look in your Bible.
Jesus.
And you can get personal all you want. But the reality is the Word of God is what it is. And your theology means nothing to me. I love you. But your theology will kill me. Why you think we're here? Do you think these things that are coming upon the earth are going to be beings you can deal with in the flesh? They're going to be stronger than you, quicker than you, smarter than you, because they're hybrids.
That's right.
Your government knows it.
Yeah.
Christ said, and if you can't deal with anything else, deal with this. Christ says, as in the days of Noah, so shall the end times be. So don't you think you need to know what happened in the days of Noah?
Yeah.
Don't you think you need to know what really happened?
Yeah.
Amen? Instead of thinking you know what happened? This is a shock to the theological, psychological supremacy of man without God. See, man wants to be supreme without God.
Uh-huh.
And things like this make him inferior without God.
Uh-huh.
Satan will rip you up and use you like a brittle pad cleaning a toilet without God. You think for any moment that you have the wit and the ability to deal with any demon without the true word of God, welcome to the family of the sons of Sceva. Hello, brother. Brother Sceva. You are mistaken. So when you put the word of God together with what Jesus Christ said, turn to John 8. And I'm going to want you to keep thinking about Genesis. And I want you to hear what Christ said. Christ was dealing with some Pharisees and Sadducees. Did you know that Christ would not allow himself to be baptized by a Pharisee or Sadducee? John wasn't a Pharisee or a Sadducee. John was an Essene. Look it up. Starts with an E. And Essene were those who kept the Qumran cave scrolls, the Book of Enoch. They studied the supernatural of God. So when God had Jesus baptized, he had him baptized by a promulgator of eschatological prophecy. Someone who understood future events. That's why he was the one to pave the way for Christ, because he knew which way Christ was coming. You can't make a way for somebody when you stupid to their path.
There you go.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't have a clue. But John did, because he was an Essene. An eschatological prophet who understood Christ's deity and the need to be uncontaminated by religious folks through baptism and the laying on of hands. Well, I know that that's why you got to be careful who put hands on.
That's right. Yeah.
And don't accept what I say. I believe and research it. You research it. And I guarantee you, either you're going to change your mind or you will receive the mark of the beast. Let me tell you what the mark of the beast is. It's going to be a universal vaccination that's going to be able to cure you from all diseases, increase your longevity, and restore your youth. It's going to be nothing but hybrid transhuman DNA. And once you receive it, you won't be able to be saved, because you're no longer human, just like the Nephilim cannot be saved. Do you know that those giants that were drowned, you know when my brother spoke on the water demons, do you know where their origin is? Genesis 6. When those hybrid demons, the giants, were drowned, since they were not human, nor were they purely angel, their spirits are still roaming the earth. They're called evil spirits. And they operate out of the water because that's where they die. It doesn't take a genius, just a little bit of research and a little bit of reality about the word of God. So when that brother preached, He was preaching a context of truth that many people don't even fathom. You don't doubt that there's a Leviathan. Well, the Leviathan came from somewhere.
We need to be witnesses to the word of God and not be afraid to go against traditional standards of belief that don't line up with the legitimate word of God. We have to stop ducking our heads into the sand because we don't want to deal with the realities of prophecy that stretch us beyond our particular comfort zones. We must be witnesses. And I want to share with you now a song that is going to give you an idea of how we should stand up for the Word of God and Jesus Christ.
Do you believe you serve a mighty God? Oh, I said, do you believe you serve a mighty, able, faithful God? He's worthy to be praised. Put your hands together, hey, 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 hey. do is give him the praise. Come on, why don't you just give him the praise right now? I feel freedom rising up in this house. Come on, freedom to dance, freedom to sing, and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. Come on, put your hands up like this, everybody. Lift your hands up.
God bless you. God bless you. I was so delighted that you were able to listen to the broadcast, Origins and Counterfeits. Look, we need to be ready for transhumanism, Nephilism. We need to understand what's going on in our world, what Satan is attempting to do, and how God is preparing us that we may understand exactly what is going on in this world today. Look, remember, go to the website, Dr. E. Maddox, DREMADDOX.org for the books, Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Remember, Weapons of Our Warfare, an Apostolic Manifesto, once you purchase those books, Impact of a Deliverance Prayer is free to you. Great God in heaven is looking down to see how we're going to manage his word, do his will, and prepare ourselves for spiritual warfare. Luke 10:17 through verse 20, Ephesians 6:12, 2 Corinthians 10:1-4. This is real. Study the word of God and prove for yourselves whether or not the things that I have shared are true. There is a part two to this message, Origins and Counterfeits. Just monitor Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox, DRMADDOX, so you can get the second half of this message. God bless you, and you are delivered in that powerful name of Lord Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.